So we know roughly the main theme of each chapter. However, in every detail, how to explain in every verse in detail, it seems still very difficult. So we just try to learn the spiritual teaching in terms of the part of prophecy for what is going to happen in the future. We just keep in mind, but we cannot totally understand. Chapter 10 is the coming of the Holy Spirit and the salvation of the chosen, teaching material C4. Last time we already mentioned that verse 1, the coming of the later rain. The later rain, the coming of the later rain will become the beginning of the end. The later rain will, after the later rain, there will be harvest. So the establishment of the true church is the beginning of the end of the human history. And from verse 2 to 5, the Lord is a good shepherd. And verse 6 to 12, we're talking about the Lord will bring his people back because of God's mercy unchanged, God's faithfulness unchanged. So after they were in captivity, and God will bring them back because eventually God loved them very much. So Lord will bring them back. In today's sense, God loved everyone he had chosen. So God is waiting everyone to return to him. However, verse 12 to 8 to 12, all the other nations will perish because they did not belong to God's people. So eventually it is going to perish. Now we're going to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a prophecy of God's suffering, the Lord's suffering. From verse 1 to verse 6, it talks about the desolation of the Israel. And then verse 1 to verse 3 talk about the calamity, overflow. That's the Zechariah chapter 11. Open your door, O Lebanon, that fire may devour your cedars. Verse 2, well, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, because the mighty tree are ruined. Well, O oak of Bashan, for the thick forest has come down. 3, there is a song of wailing shepherd, for their glory is in ruin. And there is a song of roaring lion, for the pride of the Jordan is ruined. So this is it's a prophecy about the calamity, overflow, or the desolation of the Israel. Here, if you read, talk about cedar tree, right? This all represent the Israelite. But how to explain exactly? It seems very difficult. And verse 4 to 6, it talk about the Lord sheep is ill treated. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord my God, feed the flock for slaughter. 5. Whose owner slaughter them and feel no guilt. Those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. And the shepherd do not pity on them. So the sheep actually referring to the Israelite, the chosen people. And because of they were in exile and their captivity, so they have different kind of owner. So you see the whose owner startled them feel no guilt, right? Just like Babylon killed almost two-thirds of the Israelites. Before they captured the remnant to the Babylon, and they feel no guilt. And those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. Those who sell them means for their own purpose, they betray the Israelite. Or we can say the king, and in the last few kings, before Israel was captured, actually, the behavior they had been doing is to betray the Israelite. Their shepherd do not pity on them. Those who are supposed to take care of them has no pity of them. Verse 6, for I will no longer pity the inhabitant of the land, says the Lord, but indeed I will give everyone into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king. So God is going to give them up, so they were going to be captured into exile. So God have no longer have pity on the inhabitant of the land, means the promised land. And they shall attack the land, and I will not deliver them from their hand. So this is verse 6, 4 to 6. Now, chapter 11, from verse 7 to 14, from 7 to 14, then there's two stuff. We can try to understand the meaning of the two stuff. Verse 7. Chapter 8, verse 7. So I fed the flock for slaughter. This I referring to whom? Verse 7, I referring to whom? If you read from 6 and continue to 7, the I referring to whom? Verse 6, for I will no longer pity the inhabitant of the land, says the Lord, right? Says the Lord. So verse 6 and continue to verse 7 at the same, in the same speech, right? So I fed the flock for slaughter, the I referring to the Lord or God himself. In particular, a poor of the flock. I took myself to staff. So God was a shepherd of the Israelite with two staff. Actually, two staff means staff. The staff in the shepherd's hand is for what? For guidance. Oh. On the one hand, it's for protection. The staff can fight off the lion. But on the other hand, the staff is for guidance. Oh. So I took myself two staff. God tried to shepherd his chosen people with two staff. Oh. Two staff means with two purpose. Through God's work of being a shepherd, God tried to reach two purpose. That means two staff. The one called beauty and the other called bond. And I fed the flock. So through the shepherd of the Lord, he want to give the Israelite beauty and bond. Now, let me ask you, do you read the NIV Bible? In the other translation of verse 7, beauty and bond, other translation, what is that? Favor, right? Okay, how about bond? Unity. So in order to understand the Bible better, right, sometimes you look into different translation. And through the different translation, then it's better. It will help you to understand better. But we try to understand from two different meanings. The first is God tried to help the Israelite to regain the beauty of God. The second is try through the past, the shepherd of the Lord, he tried to give the Israelite the favor. Both are very meaningful. Both are very meaningful. Let me read one verse. I try to help you to know how much you know the Bible. I read one verse, and then you try to figure out where is the verse. We are going to come back to chapter 11. Okay, verse 15. Verse 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hand for us. Yes, establish the work of our hand. Where it is? If you cannot find it, let me read verse 1 so you will understand better, right? Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generation. Verse 2, before the mountain were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from the everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And can you find it? Psalm? Yes. Which chapter? 90, yes, you are right. And you are very familiar with the Bible. Oh. This is the prayer of Moses, the man of God, right? The last verse, if you look in different translation, right? Verse 17, that the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. And another translation is, let the what? Favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us. Oh. Also, Moses was a shepherd before, right? He spent 40 years become a shepherd, right? Here he's talk about the last request or wishes, or wish is he like that beauty of the Lord be upon us. Oh. So this is exactly the same with Zechariah chapter 11. The Lord used two staff to pastorate his chosen people. And the one staff is beauty. Through his pastoring, he try to let the Israelites regain the beauty. The beauty of what? If you make comparison, Psalm chapter 90, verse 17, and Zechariah chapter 11, verse 7, God tried to give them beauty. The beauty of what? You don't get it? Oh, you're quite sleepy. Hey, try to compare these two verses. God tried to give them beauty. The beauty of what? Yes, the beauty of God. Oh, okay. What is the difference between beauty of man and beauty of God? Beauty of man will be fade away, right? Oh. So when you are 17, 18, you look very good, right? But when you are 70 and 80, it's not so good. Oh. So there's a beauty contest, 17 or 18. You never heard the beauty contest in 70 or 80. Oh, right? Oh, so the physical beauty is going to fade away. However, we human beings, we have another beauty which will attract people. Oh, when the physical beauty fades away, you cannot attract anybody, right? But you still can attract somebody with your inner beauty. And that inner beauty is the beauty of God. Now, and who can you see the beauty of God most clearly? Oh. Who has shown the beauty of God fully? Who has manifested the beauty of God fully? Jesus Christ. Because he has an image of God. So beauty of God actually is referring to the image of God. Oh. So through the pastoring work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he tried to help us to reflect the image of God. And that's called the beauty of God. Now, so every time we hold the Holy Communion, right, we remember the death of Jesus Christ, a lot of people shed tears. Oh, every time when we sing the hymn regarding the love of Jesus Christ, we always been so touched. Oh, just like a hymn 98 or 96, right? Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, because the hymn is to describe the image of God reflected in Jesus, the image of love, the image of humility, the image of sacrifice, the image of purity, the image of holiness. So that kind of beauty will attract a lot of people. So now the first step is beauty. And Moses said, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Today we come here for what? To pursue the beauty of God. Our looking may be average, right? But if we improve the beauty of spiritually, inner beauty, then we will move a lot of people's heart. We will attract a lot of people. So this is the most important. Nowadays, a lot of people emphasize on what do I have. But actually, the true value of a person is what kind of person I am. It's not what do I have. What do I have is something material, outside. What kind of person I am is talking about being. This is what we have to strive towards. So God don't care about what do you have, but God care about what kind of person you are. So the beauty, that the beauty of the Lord be upon us. And how can God really improve our inner beauty, spiritual beauty? Because Jesus Christ, through his pastoring work, right, he tried to help us to gain the spiritual beauty, right? How can God help us to gain the image of God, spiritual beauty? Do you know? How? There are at least two ways. The first way, let me read it, and then you find it, huh? Verse 9 and verse 10. Try to find it. Where it is. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where is it? Verse 10. And put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where is it? Verse 9 talk about put off older self. Verse 10 talk about put on new self. Where is it? Colossians, yes. Chapter 3, verse 10. I keep on asking the question. This is not a test, but I try to let you know how much you know the Bible, right? You read the Bible. If you cannot answer anyone, please go back and read the Bible twice. Okay. Now we look into Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Put on the new man. You come here to put on the new man. How? How to put on the new man? The new man is renewed in the knowledge. So knowledge is very important, no? And the knowledge is what? The knowledge according to the image of him. Him referring to what? God, who created him, who created Jesus Christ. So the image of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Actually, it's a knowledge of image of God. So every day, if somebody asks you, do you know Jesus? To us, yes, I believe in Jesus for 40 years. I must know Jesus quite well, right? But if somebody keep on asking you a deeper question, then all of a sudden you find out we don't know Jesus too much. Just like you know a person, right? Yes, this person, what name? I know. Even where does the person live? I know. But if a person asks a deeper question, what is the the thinking of this person? What is the plan of this person? What is the value of the person? Right? All of a sudden, you find out, I don't know. Right? Now, the same thing. The image, the knowledge according to the image of him. So what does that mean? The understanding of Jesus Christ is unlimited because Jesus is himself is God. So the Bible says the mystery of the mystery of God is Jesus. Since it is a mystery, right? So the knowledge of Jesus is unlimited. Today you study the humility of Jesus, then you compare with our own humanity, you all of a sudden you find out we are not humbled at all. And we study the love of Jesus and compare with our own love. All of a sudden, you find out we have no love at all. All right? We study the holiness of Jesus and compare with us. We find out, there's so huge gap between the holiness and Jesus Christ. So after we have more this kind of knowledge and we try to adjust ourselves according to our understanding of Jesus Christ, this is called put on new self. So in order to renew ourselves to be like a new person, definitely we have to increase our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the knowledge of the image of God. Now, this is called the beauty. He pastored us through the staff of beauty in order to let us become very beautiful, which means have the image of God. Let me ask you one more item, right? When you think about humility, what comes to your mind first? Huh? Yes, Jesus, okay. Humility, what does that mean? Okay. If we don't think about Jesus, what is humility? Humility means when somebody praises you, right? You keep on saying, no, right? Or humility means you don't give credit to yourself, right? This humility. Yes, this is humility. But if you look into the humility of Jesus, what does that mean? Philippians chapter 2 talk about he lowered down himself from heaven to the world, right? And he lowered down himself to become a servant and to wash the disciples' feet. And he lowered down himself to become a sinner in order to sacrifice for us. So from the highest God, right, he lowered down himself to become a sinner. And this descension, this is called humility. Now, so what does humility mean? Humility is, are you willing to lower down yourself to serve others? That's called humility, like Jesus Christ. Are you willing to lower down yourself to be treated like a sinner in order to do something for other people's good? So the beauty, is referring to the image of Christ or image of God. This is the first meaning. The second meaning is the favor of the Lord. Jesus Christ tried to pastorate us so that eventually we can receive favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord, in another term, is the blessing of the Lord. So after Jesus Christ pastorate us, we have closer relationship, we will live under the grace of God. Let me ask you one more question. To see you can remember it. Chapter 1, verse 12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. We conduct ourselves in the world mainly by the grace of God, not with fleshly wisdom. 在世为人, 不靠人的聪明, 只是靠神的恩典. Where is it? Chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians, yes. Chapter 1, verse 12. So the favor of God, what does that mean? It means chapter 1, verse 12, 2 Corinthians, right? The grace of God. So we conduct ourselves in the world, right? Not rely on our own wisdom, but rely on the grace of God. You know, after you graduate, even you are still in school, right? You have to face a lot of competition, especially after you're working in the world, a lot of competition, right? But if you have the grace of God, even though you are average, everything is average, right? The school you study is average. Your capability is average. Your outlooking is average. But you will live an excellent life. Why? Because you have the favor of God. God is the biggest boss. Who is the one make final decision? If he has favor on you, what are you worried about? Right? If we have no favor of God, you try to compete with other people, then the life is a lot of pressure, a lot of worry. So we have to learn a secret to find favor from the Lord. And also the book of Psalm talk about unless the Lord builds, those who build in vain, right? Unless the Lord watch over the city, those who watch over will watch in vain. That means we need to have favor of God. Now come back to chapter 11, Zechariah. The second staff. What is the second staff? The second staff called union or unity. The Lord Jesus Christ shepherds us. He's our shepherd in order that he can achieve the unity. The unity of what? Chapter 11, verse 7. The unity of what? The bond or unity. Unity talk about what? The unity of what? Through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to help us to attain the unity. Unity of what? You don't know. Unity of what? You see the book of Isaiah, right? Chapter 9. There shall be a son being born to everyone in the world. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What is next? Mighty God. And then? Everlasting Father. And last one? Prince of Peace, right? Peace. And peace of what? Prince of Peace. What does that mean? There are two meanings. Oh. The peace, the first meaning referring to the interpersonal relationship or our relationship with God. God will reconcile us. Jesus Christ will reconcile us with him. So this is called peace, right? The second is interpersonal relationship. You with your parents, with your spouse, with your sibling, with your co-worker, with your classmate. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And once you achieve this kind of peace, that's called unity. Or union, unity. So a lot of marriage is going to almost break up, right? And after both of them come to believe in Jesus Christ, the marriage was resolved. Problem was resolved. Because under the love of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ, and they become unified. Sometimes a family almost broken. The parents and the children, they cannot have a dialogue. Right? The children almost try to leave home. But after they believe in Jesus Christ, they gradually transform their heart and they have a unity. So the unity referring to unity between God and man and also unity between man and man. And this is the goal God tried to achieve through the pastoring work of Jesus Christ. So two steps, remember. The first step is beauty. The second step is unity. Or you interpret, first step is favor. The second step is unity. This is the work of Jesus Christ as the big shepherd. If Jesus Christ is really your shepherd, you really follow him, right? Eventually you are going to enjoy the beauty of God. You are going to have beauty of God. You are going to find the favor of God. If you really let Jesus Christ become your good shepherd, eventually you are going to have unity with God. Just like Jesus Christ, God in me, I am God, I am in God. God and me are one, unity with God. And eventually you're going to enjoy the unity with other person, with your family, with your spouse. That'd be wonderful. So these are two steps. But however, what happened? Because the Israelites refused to accept this great shepherd, they refused to accept the great shepherd. So what happened? So verse 10 from onwards. God cut off the staff of beauty, break the covenant with his people. And then verse 14. God cut the staff of bond, break the brotherhood, or break the unity with the Israelite. Cut off, and break these two staff. How pitiful it is, right? It was not God did not love them. It was because their heart was so hardened. So eventually God break these two staff. So the one who lose the most is the Israelite, the chosen people. So today, if we refuse to come close to Jesus Christ, to let him become our good shepherd, of course, Jesus Christ's heart will be broken, right? Because he died for us. But the one who lose the most is we ourselves. If we refuse to be closer to him, to let him guide us like a shepherd, because we are going to have no beauty of God. We are going to have no favor of God. We are going to have no unity with God. We are going to have no unity with your parents or with your spouse. Then your life is going to have big, big trouble. Oh, because God break these two staff. Oh, so how important it is. Oh. Okay, now we look into verse 15 to 17. Oh. So chapter 11, the most important point is the Lord Jesus Christ served as a great shepherd with two staff. This is the most important point. Verse 15 to 17, it talks about the foolish shepherd afflicted. Okay, so this is chapter 11. Well, two more minutes. Any question? Now we're going to chapter 12. From chapter 12 to chapter 14, the last part of Zechariah, the second coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. Actually, chapter 11, we will go into that. Chapter 11, if you read the verse 12, this is a prophecy, chapter 11, verse 12. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages. And if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Verse 13. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. That price, princely price, said to me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them in the house of the Lord for the potter. But this is a prophecy, all right? The 30 pieces of silver was a price they betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So actually, in this chapter 11, is a prophecy of the Lord's suffering. He was a great shepherd, good shepherd, right? However, eventually, he was forsaken for the 30 pieces of silver. And he take care of us for the purpose of gaining the beauty of God or favor of God or the unity. Now, that's the purpose of Jesus Christ as the great shepherd. Let's pray in silence.